Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to your third, fourth, fifth, I don't know, ever Ball Handlers podcast. My name's Brayden. I'm here with Austin. We have consumed a lot of basketball content, so you can either enjoy it with us, or if you haven't consumed any of the games or a small amount, you can kind of get the lowdown on what's going on in these playoffs. Austin, how are you? Good to be back.
I'm good, man. It's been a bit.
It's been a bit. The season closed out with all of the play-in games, the playoff seeding. We'll go over the first two games of the playoffs. Any general things that you want to get off before we get into each one?
No, what a sick first two games of the playoffs for each team, though, man. That is awesome. That's what we want to see when we tune into NBA hoops. We have some stinkers. Every league does, but man, it's just good to see guys. It's good to see guys healthy. Obviously, we'll get into the whole Jimmy Butler situation, but
yeah.
Kawhi's back. Kind of weird. No KD, no book. I haven't spent any time thinking about that, but it just sort of, you know, flittered into my head. Oh. Like, wow, KD's not in the playoffs. That's crazy.
No AD. No Kings.
And it really is the turning of tides. I mean, you look at the Warriors. Like they might win this series without Jimmy, because the Rockets are booty cheeks, but they have zero chance without him. Zero. And they might lose the series without him. And so yeah. It's crazy to see the turning of tides. Like KD's not in the playoffs. Steph can't win a series without another guy. You know what I mean? Like if they play this the rest of this series like they played the game last night, I just don't see a world where the Warriors have the offense outside of they obviously didn't run a box in one, but sort of the box in one style of let's shut down Steph Curry through.
I mean, what else? Like who's going to kill arrangement. You? Draymond?
Yeah, Pods? it is what it is. And I mean, Kuminga got minutes last night, but he was terrible. Sorry, I'm getting into games, so we shouldn't.
No. All but, good. Would you rather go crazy. Reverse order or straight up? Hey, most interesting series that I kind of tiered them. Would you rather go most interesting first or take care of the boring ones, just knock them out real quick, and then get into the meat of it, which are the more interesting games?
Yeah, we could just knock out the garbage.
All right, let's knock out the garbage real quick. Starting off with the most garbage, which is OKC Memphis. Something that I do want to point out is if I know I can't wait to see the face that I'm about to get after saying this from you, but it is crazy that it like we're a Ja Morant injury away from seeing Warriors OKC in this first round rather than Memphis OKC in this first round. And Memphis OKC has been horrendous. I have something here. Would you take the over or under OKC to win the series by 100 plus points total margin?
Wow.
100 points? What on earth? That first game, 51. Yeah. It doesn't get much worse than that. Embarrassing stuff, right? It's just been absolutely... It's been a dog walk. It has been...
It might do it.
It's been horrible.
What do they need? 20 points in each of the
20
Knicks?
Points a game.
Wow. Yeah. I wouldn't bet on it, but I wouldn't bet against it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're a Ja Morant injury away from switching up matchups, but I get the sentiment.
Yeah,
It was close to that.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of narrative would we be, speaking on? Right now, it's Memphis sucks. I don't know if Memphis... I mean... They do suck, but OKC looks absolutely unreal. Transition, their defense, one-on-one team, it doesn't matter. Like, how many times has Jalen Williams pickpocketed Desmond Bane or Ja Morant, gone the other way for a dunk? Or Aaron Wiggins, you know? Like, they have the perfect situation where they have too many guys, so you should consolidate it, but you have too many elite guys, so you don't need to. They have the perfect bench rotation. They have the perfect transition from offense to defense, defense to offense. It seems like every bucket the Grizzlies are getting, it ages them like 10 years. It is crazy what this team is doing to them, and I'm very, very, very impressed. What do you think? Yeah.
We can leave it at that. I haven't watched any OKC games. I quite frankly
don't care.
Until we play a real team, I'm not interested in... Not we. I'm not a...
OKC totally, team. Totally.
Until they play a recent... A viable playoff team.
Totally. I was thinking, like, if the 2017 KD Warriors are like a 100 out of 100, or is OKC like a Is OKC like a 98?
Yeah, dude, they're close. They're close. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to hold my tongue terms of evaluations on OKC. I want to see what happens against Clips or Denver.
Yeah, the only reason I would have it at a 98 is that Bucks game. I wonder when that Bucks game is going to come back and we're going to say, oh yeah, but we saw this already, and the Bucks walked him. But up to this point, it has been what would it be like?
Well, the concerning thing about the Bucks that should be discussed more, and we don't need to go too much into it. But I just want to clarify, the significance of the Bucks game isn't that a team with a specific lineup and a specific agenda can have some semblance of control over the game. Yes, that's true. But the Bucks suck. Like
the Bucks do suck.
We're talking about a team who wasn't that good who did this to them. So what about a team who puts it together, who has more, just pieces, talent in general, to implement what Milwaukee did for seven games against the Thunder. So
we'll see.
It's not going to be the Nuggets, so let's just hope it's the Clips.
It's true. Yeah, it would be Clips. It would have to be Clips or Rockets to me, at least. Some team that can match the two big lineup while also pushing pace. I also think like the Bucks kind of slowed it down and made it impossible for the transition. And that was the secret, right? Shea can't run, you know, the team can't run. They got stops and, you know, they just had to be okay the other way. So interesting to see. We'll see what it looks like. Yeah. Let's reconvene. Maybe like when they start to play, maybe like a Clippers or a Lakers. Wolves, some team, we'll see. Celtics Magic, let's move on. Celtics Magic, I think we've had ample discussion about this, too much discussion on this series that is abysmal to watch. It's abysmal to root for one of the teams in. I'm only watching this series because I love the Celtics. If I wasn't, these are just two teams that are just fighting, like, just like throwing, you know, pieces of poop at each other, like gorillas or something like that. It's just not good. Peyton Pritchard and Derek White.
It's a feces face off.
I like that. It looks like Peyton Pritchard and Derek White versus Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. It looks like a 2v5, 2v5, and that's it. But the two are really good. The two, Franz and Paolo are playing very well. So I've been impressed with them. Defensively, you know, OKC, the Magic are kind of doing their thing. But the Celtics are almost just too good to play that game.
I do want to talk about, not the series itself, but how different it would be with Suggs. I think they look like a different team that played Cleveland last year that gave them trouble, took them to seven. They were down 3-1 and they came back 3-3, lost game 7.
I think
this would be a little bit more competitive because they'd have a guy. I mean, like Peyton Pritchard, he's a solid player, and I think if you had an extra defender, an extra guy who had confidence in the ball, I mean, you watch them, dude. Yep. The Magic they're making the extra pass because the guy who needs to take the shot doesn't want to take the shot. So it's like, it's just gross.
He can't.
At least, I mean, Suggs he's not the most lethal shooter, but he's willing and he's confident. He's an okay distributor, but you just need guys who are willing to take the shot and get it up. Because, you're not going to win a game against the Celtics if you're not shooting threes.
You're not
going to two-point them to death. So.
But the thing is nobody can out-three the Celtics. The Celtics, the only way they lose is by not, like, just missing, you know? It doesn't look like any team can really mess with the necessary defensive ability that you would need on the perimeter and inside. Like it is crazy what Kristaps is able to do. He got clocked last night. I don't know if you saw that by Gogo Patase, but that was an insane elbow. He RKO'd him like WWE style, blood everywhere. It was disgusting. This team is just different level. I mean, even without Jason Tatum, it doesn't matter.
I texted that about Kristaps before that. That was a bad foul. But he was getting a pretty gross whistle, soft. I think he went over the back on I don't know who it was. You saw that? Dude, he's reaching over the back, but he's so long.
Wanting the foul.
Yeah, and I'm like, bro, that's an over-the-back offensive foul. Like, and he got the whistle for deep, like, as if I think it was on Wendell Carter. Maybe they were saying like he was Kristaps was already up, so he was boxing out. We don't need to get too fixated on this, but he was getting a pretty dumb whistle before that.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, level of refereeing up to this point. Are you happy? Or do you wish it was more physical? Do you wish they would call less?
Inconsistent.
I think so as well.
It's random. It's random game to game. So I'm not upset or not. Like, I think it's consistent within the 48 minutes of a specific game, but across the league, it varies.
The Rockets game was way different than that Lakers game.
Dude,
you know, it was crazy what was happening in that Rockets game. But yeah, no, I'm with you there. I mean, we can.
Brother, the Celtics shot 33 free throws yesterday.
Oof. That's just like what you don't want to see out of any NBA playoff game.
33 free throws.
Yeah. You would think SGA is on the other team.
I was laughing at 24% from three from the Magic.
Ew. Oh. Yeah, they got KCP to start shooting, and then he's a brick fest. You want Wendell Carter or somebody like that to space the floor. They're just not good enough. They don't have a spaced out big yet that can knock him down, that deserves the respect. And they don't have the point guard that can actually like facilitate to get the open looks for the players. Like, it's no wonder KCP had such a successful time with Jokic, because he's a shooter, but he's every shooter in the entire world is better when they have a wide open look. In comparison to, hey, you got to create a little bit for yourself. If you grew up just, you know, knocking down threes and you didn't have to do anything but knock down threes, telling somebody to create your threes now is a lot harder. You know, I guarantee you, if MPJ ever goes somewhere else, it's going to be a lot harder for him to get his own shot, create his own shots. And maybe like teams see the percentages, they see the, you know, the level at his scoring rate, and they're going to be like, hey, why don't you do some creation? Why don't you, you know, try to get into your stuff a little bit? And it's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. It's just not how it works. And so that's just, you know, since that's not his skill set, it doesn't make any sense. Any last minute thoughts on the Magic Celtics? We can fly through these.
Don't care.
It's going to be Celtics. They're going to move on. It's, you know, might be in 5, 6, 4, whatever. It's all good. Cavs Heat. I have the least notes on this one. You know, Tyler Hero's, you know, fighting, you know, Bam Adebayo's fighting. Wiggins doesn't, he seems like he wants to be in Cancun. These players aren't made for this level of game that they're thrown into. Like, you know, every single player on the Cavs would start for the Heat, and the Heat can't do anything with it. It's unfortunate that they got this draw, but they shouldn't have been here in the first place. And this kind of like, I kind of like the idea of maybe like I know this will never happen ever, but like a 6-team playoff would be maybe beneficial. Like, this is just like a series that nobody needs to see. It's on NBA TV. You know, you can watch it on your League Pass phone and have the commentary without it being like a behind the backboard or whatever. Like, they know this sucks. They know they're just trying to get through it. And God forbid, you know, Max Strus or, you know, Donovan Mitchell or one of their starters, right? Allen or Mobley turns an ankle in this. And then it's like, man, we were going to sweep this team anyway. We could have played our bench players, but we're doing it because it's supposed to be entertaining. You know, anything happens, I'm praying it doesn't. Some of these series just, you know, should just be like a, hey, you know.
Dude, you know what I just realized? This is outside of the structure of the pod. Do I want to change my series?
Predictions? Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm going to run you guys through them. We'll see. Obviously, there's no feedback here. And the two people that will listen to this won't
email us
relevant feedback anyway.
the two people that
know. But I am looking at my pick-em here. I'll run them by. You let me know what you think. So, oh, shoot. I got to log in. But I just realized we got 30 minutes before bracket set. So it might be smart. And talking about the Cavs, that might be the one I changed to a sweep. I had it as a 5 game. So that's why I thought of it.
I had Cavs in 4. I have
Cavs in 5.
Cavs in 5. Heat are going to get one. Okay.
I thought so, but it might be time to
switch that up a little bit.
To switch that up.
Yeah, so my OKC bracket is sweeping.
I have OKC in 5.
Really?
I have Clips in 6, Lakers in 6, Warriors in 6.
Wow. And then
I have Cavs in 5, Pacers in 6,
okay.
Knicks in 6, mm-hmm. Celtics in, I think I had Celtics in 6 as a meme, but I definitely gotta change that. That's a sweep.
Yep. I got Cavs and Celtics in 4. I got Knicks in Cavs 6. Knicks in 6, Pacers in 5. I have OKC in 4. I have Rockets in 6. I have Wolves in 7. And I have Nuggets in 7.
You have Wolves and Nuggets in 7. Yeah, that's not happening.
It probably will not happen.
I'm trying to make sure I nail this. Okay, so maybe we look at mine, because you're rocking with that. Maybe you'll win.
Maybe.
So Thunder in 5. We don't think the Grizz get a game. I think that's a sweep. That's disgusting if it is. Clips in 6 still feels reasonable. I'm gonna leave that. Lakers in 6 does not feel reasonable. But I'm not really too sure what to do there. Warriors in 6 feels reasonable if Jimmy comes back. I could believe Warriors in 5 if Jimmy comes back. Honestly. Ooh. The Rockets suck, man. We can get into it, but the problem for the Warriors is it's a different team without Jimmy, and specifically without Pods too. Yesterday, you're just rolling with guys that are it's a too deep of a rotation for a playoff team. There's not enough talent on the floor, and I don't love Kerr's rotation. Like you played Moody 24 minutes last night. Like
that's
the
what
guy
I'm
looks like the guy looks like a C Kawhi. It's like I'll take that, bro. Like. He has a very similar game, you know, and if his three's not reliable, I get it. But he was whatever, 50%+ from the floor yesterday. You leave that guy in 40 minutes. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I just like Rockets bench and role players way better than the Warriors.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent, but they don't know how to put it together. It's been evident through 2 games. The Jalen Green just put up 38. I have zero confidence in their ability. And dude, Pods is a good defender. Like they did good on Jalen Green in game one. This isn't like Jalen Green was just cooking. Dude, he was so open on some of these attempts. Like Golden State just took their foot off the gas when Jimmy was out. So even if Jimmy is out, I don't see Golden State playing like this again. Although I do recognize the talent gap that they have, and that a series between them and the Rockets without Jimmy presents. But I do think,
yeah, even with Jimmy in though, they were up big. You know, they started the game hot, they tapered off a little bit, and then they closed the game hot.
Come on. Come on. Any team can go on a little run in the first quarter.
What happens when that first quarter extends? We'll have to see what it looks like in Golden State. We'll have to see if Jimmy's coming back. I give the Warriors zero chance if Jimmy does not come back. I think
it'll be very tough.
I don't think it goes 7. I think the Warriors could maybe get one more.
Okay, so the Lakers are going to dominate the Rockets if they play. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I think they'll beat the Warriors either way. So I think Lakers and 6 against Wolves, if I keep that, I'm content with Lakers and 6 against Warriors or Rockets, yeah. And then I have Clips in 7. Is that happening? Against the Lakers.
Oh, you're skipping ahead.
I haven't beaten the Thunder and the Nuggets yet. I haven't beaten Thunder in 6. I know, that's probably insane of me.
One point that I did want to get into, and we'll get it, this is going to be the last series we discuss because Nuggets Clips is like the most interesting to me.
It's a finals matchup.
But the Clippers recreated the Mavericks from last year.
I don't think they did. But we can talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Harden equals Luka. I mean, that's been the comparison for a while. And then you stack the perimeter defense. So you have like your PJ Washingtons or Derek Jones Jr.'s, who is ironically on both teams.
DJJ is worse. I like PJ more, but whatever.
So Chris Dunn would be the PJJ. PJ Washington, kind of... comparison there. You have the bigs. So Zubac, I mean, he has been amazing, and he does Gafford and Lively, you know, at once. And then you have your pick of Kawhi, and Kawhi would be your Kyrie, your like bailout scorer, your efficient guy, your guy that can get you that bucket, that can be really talented in one aspect. And yeah, I think the Clippers have a real chance. They do. I mean, I was not expecting Kawhi to look as good as he has. He has been unreal. He has been a Terminator. And the tough part is he looked like this against the Suns, right? For two games, three games. You know, you think it's going to be different?
This is different. Yeah, it's different.
I mean, he had this. He had very similar statistical. No, play.
Someone outlined this. I already heard the comp, but it was the fact that yes, Kawhi will always have the question mark, but his return has been different. His return this time has not been, I'm back, but I don't play every four games, and then the playoffs roll around, and I, you know, fall apart, and my bones break. Like what's happened this time is he came back at the set time that he was supposed to. And he started playing immediately. He started playing big minutes immediately, and he's been doing that consistently. He's just back. Like, it just is what it is. Yes, an injury could always come, like it can to any player. But I think he's out of the, Kawhi, you know, cycle of perpetual injuries.
Yeah, it's for me right now. It's not a bet I am willing or can make.
No, that's fair. But I'm just saying his return looks completely different than it's ever looked before, and I don't mean his level of play looks different than it has.
Right, his health and his ability.
I'm saying his health, the way he came back has not modeled any of the previous three returns, which should lead you to believe that this is real, barring a regular injury, you know what I mean? But this isn't like he's nursing something that will flare up, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see. Like you said, you don't want to get into it.
Yeah, we will. I mean, we can talk about Kawhi is one of the best players in the world when they are in the finals, or we can talk about what happened to the Clippers when, you know, he went down and he didn't come back. So, I mean, I feel like those are the only two logical solutions. I don't think with him healthy, we're talking about, oh man, they just flamed out. You know, like that's just like Kawhi as James Harden's second star is something he's never had before, aside from KD. But he didn't even really play in the playoffs with KD, and he's no Embiid. You know, Embiid. You know, like great offensive player. Kawhi is different level. I'll take Kawhi 10 days out of 10 days. So yeah, let's move on. I mean, Cavs Heat. We don't really need to discuss it. I mean, it's just a smackdown. It's not fun. For anyone, I don't think anyone went into playoff basketball saying, "I can't wait to watch the Heat play in the playoffs." You know, like even if you're from Miami, you're rooting for someone else. My next one, and this was a toss-up. The next most interesting one was between the three of Pacers, Bucks, Rockets, Warriors, and Lakers, Wolves. I chose Pacers, Bucks as the least interesting out of those three. I think Pistons Knicks is just in its own tier above all of those as fun, cool to watch, how you feel about watching the games, the pace, everything like that. I think that's just like perfect fun playoff basketball. And so let's go Pacers Bucks real quick. What is going to be the X factor for the Bucks? And do they need a million X factors, the perfect storm to be able to beat this Pacers team? That's a team, not just players. What do you think?
They have no chance.
Bucks have no chance.
Yeah, and I hate every time I think about that. I think about Giannis, and I think it's really easy to just put the for the outcome to determine what we should think about a player, right? So the outcome of a sweep, if that happens, is that means something. That's an indictment on Giannis. And it's really easy to do that. And so I think there will be a lot of talk around how the Bucks failed Giannis. I think it's 50-50. You can't get swept.
You think it's 50-50 between the Bucks and Giannis? Kyle Kuzma is putting up Tony Snell numbers.
This dude is top three in the MVP perennial, having a perennial spot there, excuse me. You don't get swept in the first round.
Damn!
By a Pacers team. By a team that is widely considered not even top five or six of playoff contenders right now. You know, like that's just unacceptable. Celtics, Cavs are better.
Knicks are better.
Warriors, Knicks, I won't give them definitively. Warriors are better, Lakers are better, Clippers are better.
Wolves are better.
Nuggets are better, Thunder are better, Wolves might be better. It's just like, dude, they're not even close to top five. So the fact that you get swept by a squad like that is unacceptable. I mean, dude, you as a regular Jimmy Butler hater.
Hate him.
you as a regular Jimmy Butler hater has held at one point, or maybe still holds, a sweep by the Bucks against, right, a player that it's like a team and a series and a player that it doesn't really matter. But you've held that against a player who you should have less standards for than a guy like Giannis, who's a perennial MVP, who I think widely would be considered as having multiple tiers higher standards for what we expect of them.
Yeah.
You cannot get swept in the first round. So yeah,
it's true. It's true. I do feel sad for, like, I actually feel a little bit sad for Giannis. I'm not a Bucks fan. I'm not a Giannis fan. I do think he's an incredible player. He's incredibly dominant. At the same time, like, dude, that press conference last year when they lost, and it was 2 years ago when it was was the season a failure, and he gave that whole speech. I like that speech, you know. I do feel bad. I do think he's a winning player. I do think he, you know, if it, like, you're starting Rollins and Torian Prince in a playoff game, and Kuzma drops donuts, like what is he supposed to do? Like he he pushes him to the max. These aren't like atrocious games either. He's doing everything he can, and the fact that they're even close to scoring 100 points is a testament to this is a G League team, and he is on it, and that's the reason they're in the playoffs. That's the seed they have, and that's the reason they're even in any of these games.
No, I can totally get behind that. You don't get swept though, you know. Like if the idea is he's a close player to Jokic, dude, that would be laughable for Jokic to get swept.
Jordan got swept. Jordan put up like a 44 point per game average and got swept by the Celtics.
Well, Jordan sucks. So.
Ah. Did Kobe ever get swept? Did Kobe ever get swept? He did, by the Mavericks. I remember. Kobe got swept by the Mavericks. He did. I remember it. And he played well. And would we be having this conversation if it was Kobe Bryant? How can you be a top three in the league? He was probably the best in the league. It was maybe him or Dirk or Wade.
Stop.
He was not the best in the league?
You're talking about 2011 or whatever?
Was it 2000? Yeah. 2011. Swept after winning back to back, he got swept. Nice title defense.
Yeah, that was pathetic. Did they lose Odom that season? What happened?
It does not matter. They had Kobe Bryant, and you were talking about. Yeah, I mean, like Giannis has Kuzma, Rollins, Prince, and
unacceptable.
Lopez. But yeah, I mean, it happens. Also, at this time, like you've already been swept by the Heat. You know, one time is one time. You know, two
times. Did
they
get swept by the Heat?
Yeah, I remember. Was it 4-1?
No, I think it was 4-2. I think they went up 2-0 and then they really? Got reverse. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Which might be worse.
I give Giannis a little bit more privilege there because he's won and he was the guy. But also, like, you put him on any of these top five teams at all and you replace the best player with Giannis and they're exactly where they are or better. So I'll still give some leeway. Siakam looks good. Halliburton, good. He's talking that smack to Dame as well. I love it. This was like a more intense series than I thought it would be. And I think the Bucks are like hold a lot of resent towards like the Pacers, and the Pacers are kind of low bro. And I'm like, who are you, dude? Like, y'all suck. And I think that's really pissing off the Bucks. Mm-hmm. And I like it. I like that. Like, we're getting back to like basketball is healing, you know, we're getting back to where, you know, early 2000s to mid 2010s. And then everybody became friends. And then it was all, hey, it's not cool to argue with each other anymore. We don't want to, you know, get in scuffles or anything like that. And now we have like some real talk. I mean, speaking of Rockets Warriors, you ready to transition there? That's the perfect transition into what's going on with Draymond Green and Dylan Brooks. I mean, who could ask for better, like, it's WWE in that thing. I would not be surprised if both of them had WWE careers where they just fought each other after basketball is done, or maybe over the summer. It is the funniest thing. Watching these games, I laugh more and am more entertained at these than probably any. It is absolutely awesome. It is amazing. It's awesome. I mean, what did you think about those Draymond tackles last night? Well, I mean, what did you think about, I mean, I know Jimmy's your boy. That was a tough injury. Was it Amen's fault? Was it Draymond's fault? Like, what did you think? Did you think he actually got pushed? Maybe there was some embellishment and he fell forward, and I don't know if he was trying to injure, you know.
I don't look at that play. And I mean, I don't look at that play and think in any way that was his fault. So if you want to say he didn't get pushed, it was not a dirty play. Yep. You know, it wasn't. It was just some movement into the rebound. Like, it happens. I think he got pushed, but if the alternative, I don't think it's a zero sum game, right? Like, well, Draymond either pushed him or Amon's a dirty player and went into Jimmy. I think okay, if Draymond didn't, and this is dumb, but if Draymond didn't push him, cool. It was a continuation motion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going in to get the board. Yeah, just unfortunate situation. Like, those are scary falls, but they don't always result in anything crazy. It's true. This one happened to.
Yeah.
Be a you know, pelvic contusion or whatever.
They came out with the report already. It's just a contusion.
So I can take a look. Yeah.
Jimmy is not my favorite player. That's well documented. I never want to see any good player or any player for that matter get injured. And I would rather Jimmy gets bounced from the Rockets on his own merit. Another feather in the cap there.
you ain't gonna see that. Then.
Dude, I still think the Rockets. I still think they could beat that Warriors team with Jimmy. But yeah, I mean, after everything, like, are you standing on business? Should the Rockets have tanked the season and not gotten the second seed and
been in the playoffs?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
The take wasn't they suck.
No.
I get it. They're a solid squad, but complete the rebuild. You know what I mean? Don't enter into it early, because we're going to hit a point. Like, look at the Grizzlies, you know? They've missed their window, I think is very fair to say.
They
missed their window.
Their window is no longer... Yeah, it's no longer
they
just a window.
They never acquired the talent so that when the rest of their team peaked, they peaked at a time where they were capable to compete. That never happened.
I don't know. They were the 2 seed and they beat that Warriors team by like 50 points. They beat the season winning Warriors team by like 50 that year. They were the only team that was like looking good. And then Ja Morant, obviously he was injured, you know, during that time, but no, nothing. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to, completely disregard them. I mean, yeah, like you can always, I mean, but what would they have gotten, you know? RJ Barrett? No, that was way too early. What would they have gotten? Like, I mean, they wouldn't have gotten Vic.
I'm just saying, you go tank.
Brandon Miller, dude, go get Scoot. Scoot's the new dude. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. If the rebuild is not complete, then we have too many bad teams, and then that makes it really difficult to see who gets who. And then there's just not enough talent in per class to hang your hat on. Okay, now we're gonna start going, and we're gonna assume this player gets good enough. You know, so. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Okay, all right, awesome. I mean, Steph is unreal, right? Like, geez, like he is hitting shots even like that are, I feel like I've been shocked enough by Steph Curry to be like, yeah, you know, like, you know, that one's going in, that one's going in, that one's going in. And then he hits the like leaning into the player. He hits the leaning away from the player. Like he is unreal. And I'm not a Steph fan. I am a Steph enjoyer, if that makes sense. Like, the level of difficulty, I mean, same thing. Like, I was not a Kobe fan. I was a Kobe enjoyer. I love watching the clips of him doing the craziest stuff, some of the stuff that we've never seen before, and I just love good basketball. Like, and Steph plays great basketball. He pushes the pace. He runs around. He does everything that, like, he works harder on the floor than all of his players even though he's the greatest shooter of all time, that could dictate that he doesn't work as hard as everyone else, you know? But he runs, I bet you he runs more miles per game than damn near anyone, if we were to track it. Like, he does anything possible to get open, and he is the definition of by any means necessary. And I love that. I love that mentality in basketball.
Yeah. He's one of a kind. You know,
yeah, got to enjoy it while it lasts. Your brother and I, we were on Discord and we made an agreement where if the Warriors run into the Celtics in the finals, we'll go to San Francisco to see a game. So if you want in, if you want to go see, yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah, I didn't think you really cared.
I don't need to pay $500 for a ticket.
Yeah, he wouldn't even watch the finals if it was Warriors Celtics again.
Hell yeah, I would, bro. one of my favorite players is on one of those squads, obviously.
You're that big of a Jonathan Kuminga fan? I didn't know. Alrighty, next up.
NBA players, not G League players.
We got Lakers Wolves. Reactions from it being 1-1. I know, I mean, this is your squad, so take the floor.
I don't love this Lakers squad. I think they're built unlike many NBA teams before them. It's like, you know when they say a team's all offense, all defense, right? And the Warriors actually have a really good defense, but they're, I think they are historically looked at as a team like that. You know, Houston, the Rockets of old, you know, like these offense-first driven teams. The Lakers are like that, but in a way that's never really been built before. Like, it's not an off, it's not like the Celtics even, where it's like, hey, we're going to just run five out offense, we're going to jack up a lot of threes, we're going to have a high offensive rating, and we're going to put up a lot of points. The Lakers aren't built like that. It's offense is going to be driven through our three elite star players, but we don't really run an exceptional offense. So the assumption is that they're going to be a good offense, but it's like, are they? So I just have big questions there. And then, defensively, like you just don't have the structure of a 1-5, and that presents big challenges against a team like Minnesota, who are a little bit more traditional, even in an era of NBA ball where there's non-traditional lineups, you know? It's just one of those, like, styles make fights. So I think the Wolves are the toughest matchup for the Lakers, specifically, outside of maybe your Denver, Clippers, and then maybe Thunder from a pace perspective, but I really do
think the Lakers. So half the playoff teams?
Wolves, Nuggets. Well, the Nuggets are just maybe like a kryptonite thing, and it actually may not be as big of a deal now that they got rid of AD. He was probably one. Him and LeBron were the biggest liabilities there in terms of the mental breakdowns that led to Lakers' losses against the Clippers, or against the Nuggets, excuse me. And Luka's not susceptible to those. So maybe we can count the Nuggets out in terms of a team structure that gives the Lakers problems.
Okay. Do you think are you going to stand on the take earlier, probably like maybe last pod that we did, where it was like, hey, we're cool, Luka and LeBron can guard, it's not going to be an issue?
I agree with that, and I think we've seen it. I mean, I think we've seen some of these big guys, like especially on the Thunder, you don't need a big dude to be guarding them, you just need a body up into them. So
are LeBron and Luka willing to do that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and it's not like it takes you being super nimble. Like,
that's true. I will say, like, Luka seems to, even in the playoffs, I was like, okay, like now he can turn it on. Maybe he's like LeBron a little bit, where in the regular season we see like next to no effort given on the defensive end by LeBron because he's saving it. Dude, I thought I was going to see that switch flip for Luka. Dude, Luka's like 25, 24, and he's still not flipping 26. The switch. He's 26. Wait, he's older than me?
He might be 27. Yeah, he's old.
What? I did not know that.
No?
I didn't know that. No, I thought he was a 2000 or 99. 26. He's 26? Wow. So yeah, I thought Luka would be able to turn on the switch. They hunt Luka like nobody's business, and he doesn't seem to care because he's saving it for the offensive end. And it feels like that's his only like, hey, Olga, like, it, yeah, he can start on the guy. Luka has to switch at some point. If they get him in every action like they've been doing, he's torched. Like, it is just so cooked. He just says, here's the lane and I'll give you the red carpet towards it. You know, if you want to do that, go ahead. Yeah,
it's kind of like, remember what I used to talk about the whole ratios? It just hit me. I think a better way to describe it would be like, you know when you're playing Mario Kart and you're picking the cars or whatever, or the gliders?
Yeah,
or the
characters, yeah, yeah, right.
And there's like the speed handling. Yep, it's like, yep, the Lakers sacrifice. Are like 150 in ISO. And it's like, who cares? Our car can only take 100. So like, it doesn't matter that we're 150. That's 50 points of talent in a category that just goes wasted because there's only so much.
I see what you're saying. Right? You can't have... You're 100% correct. And it's the same thing on the defensive end. You can't have just ISO defenders and no scheme for successful defense as a team. Sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and LeBron's a savvy defender. Like, this is why Jokic does really good in those defensive metrics, right? Like, as a basketball player, I'm not a great offensive player, but I'm an okay defensive mind. And I totally see what Jokic is doing. Like, there's having the speed and the skill to get out and cover these guys and to be super quick, right? He can't do any of that, but he can read rotations. He understands if I'm covering, you know, let's say there's a high screen, I'm the guy who's supposed to drop, right? Jokic understands I should be dropping just enough, maybe to compel the guy who's curling around the screen to either dump it down to the rolling big man or to kick it out, but not enough that's going to give him an open three. So it's like a little bit of a hezzy, right? I don't need to go too in-depth into it, but good defensive players or people who have defensive instincts who are listening to this understand, which is nobody.
Understand. We just called our whole team, our whole group chat out. Yeah, you guys suck.
Good defensive players understand what that is. That Jokic is actually making an intentional move there, despite his physical defensive limitations, to make the most of his circumstances. And he's never going to be 100 on the individual defensive rating. You know what I mean? But it's like, yeah. how can he make the most of his circumstances and his tools to be effective? You know, a really athletic defender who can maybe more quickly close the distance on the screener and actually trap the guy who's curling the screen, right? The ball handler can make it so that, well, that he can't even dump it down to the guy, to the rolling big man. Well, sure, but that guy also doesn't understand that I know when the player's going to pass it, therefore I can put my hand up and intercept the ball. Jokic does know those things. And so there's like, right, it's kind of like a not quite happy medium, because that implies that it's super intentional and the best of both worlds. It's not, you know, you'd like him to be more athletic, but anyway, Luka, LeBron, those guys, I think they have a little bit of that, but it's so bad defensively, and you cannot be as much of a liability on the perimeter as a player. You know, Jokic can get away with the center defensive liability stuff. You can't do that stuff as a perimeter player. I'm just convinced about it. So,
yeah, no, I like that. I like that comparison. I also, yeah, like Jokic is kind of the best of like his capabilities. Like he understands himself. He has like, you know, basketball acumen and like IQ to understand, hey, if I, you know, sometimes I have to sacrifice a little bit here and just play the percentage game. That is like the most ideal situation that you would want from a player. That's why he's the best, you know? And he makes you respect it.
He has the same limitations everybody else has as you put the player into a hole. Like Rudy Gobert is quicker. He's a little bit longer. He can close out on these things, but he's not as wise defensively on certain rotations, you know? He doesn't understand timing as well as Jokic does. And so there's these certain things that make them all equilibrium outside of like your really stellar people who end up being defensive player of the year, MVP, those kind of things, right? But yeah, he does the most with his abilities. And Luka doesn't. Like
You're right. Yeah, I think he could. And I think he knows. Like I don't think Luka is, I think he's so like basketball intelligent just like Jokic. It's clear on the offensive end that it is. But he also, I think, like this was the knock on him. Like he knows what the right play is. He's too lazy to do it on the defensive end. He's saying like, hey, I'll sacrifice this right here in the, like with the result that this will happen. And I am better at this end and I'm more efficient at this end than this person is. Even if we're like with my negative reaction here, the percentage of this person doing this is lower than me doing this over here. And maybe that's confidence. Maybe that's actual percentage wise. Like
yeah.
He is one of the best, you know, offensive players, but you know, like these guys are in the NBA. Like you're increasing the percentage on one side for the same percentage on the other side, right? Like maybe it's a 60%, right? Whatever it is, you want to say 70% on the offensive side. You being lazy and not giving 50% over here and giving 25% makes their side 70% as well, and he's willing to live with it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, yep. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, there's no wonder he gets put in the switches. It's no wonder he gets put in every action. They're trying to tire him out. And he's just saying, hey, you're not going to. Like, I'm just not going to give enough effort to be tired here. And I think that's like, something that I think we all thought as this trade was happening, that LeBron would change in Luka. I don't think Luka's ever played with a player, including Dirk, where it was like, hey, man, you got to make this happen so that, you know, you can win. Right? And
yeah, he does not understand that. Like, I think about some of the great players and some of the bad games they have. Like, I think about Kobe, you know, 2010 Celtics game. Like, lockdown on defense. Like if you're going to wet the bed in one of these areas, like you cannot be a liability so that you're reliant on a 40-point offensive production. Like and if we're reliant on that from Luka, well we're going to win two games and we're going to lose.
Exactly, you know? And we saw it in the finals last year, and we saw it in the Lakers-Celtics this year.
That was just an offense thing. I think it's a little bit overblown, the defensive liability that he was, because they were so bad on offense.
Well, here's my point. Jaylen Brown puts 100% of his effort on the defensive end on Luka Doncic. They stick him on him. Luka can now do 50% of what he normally does, still great player, still great games, but sure. He does not flip the switch and say, okay, Jaylen Brown's on me, it's going to be more difficult, I got to switch up and use my potential on the defensive end and lock in here. He just doesn't do it, sure. You know? Yeah. And that's something that we saw, like Luka was taken out of the Celtics-Lakers game this year just because, and he was getting so frustrated with everything, coaches, refs, teammates, right? And it was like, man, like, it's just because Jaylen Brown is picking your pocket, locking you up. You're not getting the calls you want as you're trying to bang into him. Like, he's taking away some defensive or offensive ability from you, and you're frustrated that you're not doing what you're normally doing, and you're not translating that on the defensive side, giving more effort over there.
Yeah, which is why you can even have players who probably don't quite have the talent required to be one of the best players in the league taking that mantle.
The crown, yeah.
Yeah, Giannis is a guy that comes to mind, gives 100%. It a ton defensively. Tatum's a guy that comes to mind, gives it a ton defensively. Yeah. Brunson, I guess some people had him in like MVP voting. He's a liability on defense, but he's been really giving it his all in this Pistons series, you know. He's carrying a huge offensive burden. So,
yes. Are we good on Wolves Lakers? Just to put a bow on it, what do we think? Yeah. You're saying Lakers in six?
I don't know.
Objective. I know you want like.
I don't think the Wolves can win a game seven. I think the Wolves have to close it out in six, and I don't see the Wolves closing it out in six. So I'll take Lakers in six. Does that sound right?
Oh wow! Yeah. Okay. So what would that be? Three out of the next four.
I think they can.
Okay.
And I heard this take. I don't know if it was Minnesota. On Low Post, but I was thinking about the Lakers don't care. LeBron doesn't care. And also, LeBron, historically, you've looked at his game one numbers, dude. Bad. Always tanks game one. So,
wait, but he's, I think, did you see the game one win versus game two win in LeBron's career? He's like 13-12 in the series when he loses game one. See that? Or maybe it was 12-13. And then his, like, if he wins game one, he's like, you know, 26-2 or something like that. Have you seen that?
No, that's crazy, though.
Someone stat check that, though. Yeah, pretty wild. I also wonder, like, LeBron needs to start his dominance again. I think he's been a little bit passive, and I want to see. He did have a sick block though. Like, I can't lie with you. He pinned it against. He is so good at pinning it against the backboard.
He had some big defensive plays.
Crazy. It was awesome. But also, like, at the end of the day, those are for the cameras. You know, sometimes. And you watch the rest of the game, and you're like, okay, that was not a defensive performance from LeBron. No. You know, he's required to. I mean, who else is going to take on? It's Julius Randle. I get it. Like, who cares? But like. At the end of the day, you know, like who's taking on the mantle of who's taking on the Julius Randle assignment and Naz Reid assignment when Julius Randle's off? And Naz Reid was hitting some crazy shots game one. Game two came out and just brick city, which is all good. You know, it happens. If you're a role player, you're playing away from home. Sometimes you get super jacked up for the first one, and then the second one is just not happening. And, you know, is what it is. We're cool with Wolves Lakers. Anything else? I mean, Ant is greatness embodied. I think he's so cool to watch.
He's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets hyped up. He's messing with Luka. You know, he's talking to LeBron. Have you seen that?
Yeah, he wants it every time. Which is a fun and fascinating thing to see.
Have you seen Starting Five?
No.
So have you heard of it?
No.
So Starting Five is where they follow individual players throughout the season of last season. I think it's either on Netflix. Would definitely recommend it. But Anthony Edwards' intro into that series is so good. They follow LeBron. They follow Ant. They follow JT. I forget who else they follow. That's on me. I watched it a minute ago. But LeBron is like saying, you know, like, hey, when somebody takes on the like if there's a player that's younger than me, that's more skilled than me and more athletic than me, then I'll be able to rest a little bit. And then it transitions, it cuts, and then it says Minneapolis, and then it's Anthony Edwards. And he's like, yeah, I'm trying to beat everybody, you know? Like, yeah, I want to go against LeBron one-on-one. Like, who doesn't? And I love it. Like, I got caught up. I love watching him play. Again, I wasn't a fan of Kobe Bryant. Loved his mentality. Loved his shot-making and his creation. Anthony Edwards, I actually really like Anthony Edwards. And it's not fair because there's a lot of Anthony Edwards, JT comparisons, like all of this stuff. I always rock with Jason Tatum. I always think he'll be the greater player and the better player. But Anthony Edwards is so impressive. Three-point, you know, ability, shot-making ability, super, like, hyper-efficient. Your mic is muted. Sorry.
Oh, I said you'll always think that, or you think that right now?
I believe that I'll always think that. Just, I mean, in terms of what Jason Tatum's career, bias
or your perspective on their just career. Just
perspective on career right now. I mean, Jason Tatum started off too hot, and Anthony Edwards, I mean, and it's not Anthony Edwards' fault, but like he's done nothing up to this point, except for last year. Last year was impressive.
But we've talked about Jimmy before. You don't care about even finals appearances, even if you make it that far. You just care about wins, right?
I would say even with finals appearances, like Jimmy doesn't have the resume that Jason Tatum does across the span of the career. Like Jason Tatum has never missed a playoffs. He's been to more conference finals. He scored more points per, you know, game seven or game six closeout game. You know, he has the metrics to back it up.
Any of that stuff's definitively true though. Like I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just questioning the validity of it, and I think that
statistics wise,
yeah, I know he has a decent game seven closeout, but like what does that even mean? Like just sound like cherry pick stats.
Yeah, they probably are. I mean, listen, okay. Like I consume a lot of Celtics motivated media, so of course it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be a little bit dialed into that, but
your perspective is on that because Jason Tatum had too hot of a start. And when I think about hot start, I look at what he did and I say, well, what he did is something that you don't care about other players doing. And like so, who? Well, I just use Jimmy as an example. Like
Jimmy started and throughout he's been as successful like playoffs wise as Jason Tatum has.
For the reasons that you would have Tatum higher than Ant, yes. So okay. You said Tatum's higher than Ant because he got off to a hotter start, referring to the first 6 years of his career,
yeah.
His success through the first 6 years of his career, yeah. And his stats.
Yep.
And the success and stats, whatever, are things that you don't care about in other conversations.
Well, Jimmy didn't do it. Jimmy in the first 6 years of his career was nowhere near the level statistics-wise. He had two final, or...
at the point we used to have Jimmy Tatum discussions, and I would still take Jimmy.
Jimmy was 28.
But at that point in time, he had had more finals appearances and he had more playoff wins. So,
correct.
But those didn't seem to matter to you.
No,
so
because
saying,
in the first 6 years of his career, right?
Tatum versus Ant.
Yeah, Jimmy's career, like we were talking about Jimmy at 28 and Jason Tatum at 23,
sure.
Right? The first 6 years of the career, like Jimmy was in Chicago, Jimmy was in Minnesota, and Jimmy was in, I mean, he hadn't even been to Philadelphia yet. So if we're just looking at the career of Jimmy in Chicago and Minnesota, that is not even near the level of success that Jason Tatum had his first, you know, few years in Boston. In terms of playoff success, statistical.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about success. So
yeah,
using
Jimmy
the word
Butler
success,
did nothing close
knowing
to
that. Knowing Jason. That success is, in the ways we've talked about it before, is not defined by a singular playoff win of this
totally.
Or that.
Totally.
neither of Tatum or Ant has had success. Neither of them had won a chip before, you know, Tatum this last year.
We can go.
Ant's not there yet, right?
Playoff experience. Like, yeah, I mean, Jason Tatum made the playoffs every single year. Jason Tatum, you know, he was like averaging trips to the Eastern Conference Finals when Ant's first time to the, you know, conference finals was last year. Great play again, great player, number one on the team. It's just, yeah, Jason Tatum, and it wasn't fair. You know, he plays for the Celtics, right? Like, it just happened that Brown and Tatum were drafted high in back-to-back years by an organization that knows exactly what they're doing. And the Wolves didn't until Anthony Edwards came in, right? Anthony Edwards was in a different situation, but also, like, pretty similar at the same time. Like, Karl Anthony Towns, you know, number one pick, right? So, It's tough. It's tough to compare because, like, dude, Anthony Edwards is so lovable and Jason Tatum is so hateable. You know, if you're not in Boston, it is pretty widespread across the nation that not a lot of people like Jason Tatum, likely because he's found so much success early on and he doesn't act like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Anthony Edwards, your lovable stars would. That makes sense?
Dude, people hated those guys. But I know what you're saying about Ant. Ant's a likable star. I don't think Kobe and MJ were like, you just said you didn't like Kobe. He was one of the greatest players of all time.
Totally. I didn't, but I was surrounded by love. I was surrounded by love of him. Like, that's it, you know? Like, yeah. It was, like, I think across, I mean, if we talk about any of those guys now, we talk about GOAT conversation, and then we talk about, like, oh, man, like, I just have nothing but love for somebody like Kobe Bryant. I think anywhere but Boston, like, you're loving Kobe.
No, I get it. I just wanted clarification specifically around what you said for Tatum in it. And it makes sense. There's bias there, like you said, and there's also your perspective on players. I think Ant did go to a conference finals, which is insane, and he just hasn't had the same level of team. So if the goalposts are how good was your team and how much did they, like,
are the Wolves this year or last year?
Finals appearances that the Celtics made were not because of Tatum. Like, they played with Kyrie, Gordon Hayward. Like, they had teams that were built around different guys, and it was just like, well, you're on the team, so Gordon, you're coming. And it's great. Like, good for you. It's like Jordan Poole. It's like Jordan Poole has a finals appearance. He has a finals
win.
Right.
He has a finals ring.
Does anyone care about that?
No. Yeah. But Jason Tatum was the best player. I mean, with Kyrie, even with Kyrie there, like,
stop.
Jason Tatum.
Stop.
Kyrie folded. Like,
stop.
He did. In the regular season and in the lead up to the first two rounds, Kyrie was the guy. Jason Tatum took over. And also Gordon Hayward.
Outside of Gordon Hayward
never played a game for the Celtics. He snapped his wrist and then he snapped his ankle and then it was over. We want to talk about, you know, like, I don't know.
Gordon.
What's his name? Kemba Walker carrying him as well? Al Horford?
Yo, Kemba. Yes, Al Horford. I guess I has been carrying.
But yeah, no, I'm impressed with Anthony. I mean, yeah, we'll have a different conversation when Anthony Edwards wins the finals and the finals MVP this year, you know, if that happens. Up to this point, though, you know, like, he's on a good pace. You know, he's on a good track. He's a great player, but he's not on Jason Tatum's back.
When he goes to the finals but doesn't win finals MVP.
We'll have a different conversation. That was so narrative based. But yeah. I mean, we know he was the best.
Like
player.
I said, I don't hold that against Tatum. I don't care.
Yep.
I hold the eye test against Tatum. So
totally.
It doesn't matter.
And he the GOAT on that end. So we good. Last one. I think we've been through all of them except for Nuggets Clips. Right?
No, we didn't do Pistons.
Oh yeah, Pistons Knicks. You're right. We didn't. Pistons Knicks. Quickly, anything? Ashar looks terrified to play. I was not expecting that at all. He got six fouls and was pissed about every single one of them, as he should be. You know, JB is kind of, you know, head snatching back and foul baiting, as the kids call it these days.
I can't with Jalen Brunson.
What's so sad is that these players, like, these guys are so good, and then I see these clips of them snapping their head back, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Trae Young, and Jalen Brunson specifically, and I'm just like, man, like, you guys would just be, you would be just as good, you know, if you didn't do that, you know, you guys would be, and I would respect you more. I would respect your campaign for whatever award, first team All-NBA, second team, you know, whatever, legitimacy. But it's unfortunate that you feel you have to do this, you know, where, you know, you're putting, like in soccer, at least, like, I never want to see a red card for either teams. I never want to play basketball with watching, like, players be scared because they have three fouls in the second quarter. I never want to see players get taken out of the game, and now we have to talk about the validity of the wins because one guy is.
Dude, I actually don't care about. I respect that. I don't think I care about it or ever think about it from that perspective. I just don't like. I don't like the player, the person that says to me, it says, here's a loophole in the system. Let me own it. And those people in life in general, I don't appreciate. I don't respect. I don't value is a tough one. But anyone who does that and says I'm gonna go down this route because it exists, I don't appreciate that. And so that's the perspective I take that frustrates me about Brunson. It's not you got this guy out of the player and now I'm questioning the win. You got to win. Who cares? I don't like the type of person who says here's the loophole that exists. Let me take it.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Maybe we should just call everything clean until there's blood. Some streetball action, some Malice at the Palace action. But yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to watch. It taints the, you know, like this series would be so fun if that wasn't happening, if I wasn't seeing free throws all the time. And dude, some guys are just getting hacked and not caring, and then the refs aren't calling. And then it's like, man, you know, God forbid we lay a finger on Jalen Brunson and he's going to the line. So, you know, it's all good. I mean, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, OG Anunoby, standard stuff from them.
And, dude, I'm so tired. Like, I'm tired of the Tibbs stuff. Like, I'm tired of Brunson whining about it, right? I do respect some of his takes. So I know historically, I don't know if it was last year or something, but basically he was doing, you know, it was in the room, presser after the game, reporter asked him a question. Someone was basically like, so one of his teammates responded in a way, and Brunson was like, we're not going to do that. Basically, I think it was Kat. Maybe it was Kat. Maybe it was someone else. No, because Kat wasn't on the team yet. But it was basically someone like, I'm not answering that question. You know, like, really, like, ask a new question. And Brunson's like, no, we're not doing that. Basically, we're not taking the approach of, I'm not going to answer a question. I'm not going to not answer a question because I don't like the question. Like, I think that somebody else in the league had done something like that. And he's like, that's not us. Like, and then he responds, like, yeah, they just leadership. Played better than us. They played harder. And it's good leadership. It's awesome. There's certain things about him that I really appreciate. But it's like him whining during the game, Tibbs post-game talking about how Cade gets the whistle. But it's like, I don't care. What I'm pressed about isn't that Cade gets the whistle. I'm cared that Brunson's trying to abuse the whistle, right? Like, so you could say post-game, well, Cade got that whistle, therefore Brunson should be getting the whistle. It's not what the contact was. It's how you were trying to portray the contact that frustrates me, right?
Yeah.
So if the refs are calling it like that, great. You'll get those whistles too because Cade's getting the whistle. What I don't want to see is you acting like you're getting stabbed in the rectum to get a call, you know?
In the rectum.
So, no, I'm serious though. Like,
oh my gosh.
I think that's my primary frustration, and I think that's what most NBA fans are frustrated with. And I'm not saying there isn't a camp of people in your boat who would say their primary objection with the whistles are stoppage of play, seeing people get fouled out, questioning wins. I'm sure that exists too. But I think the tide's shifting on Brunson for the reasons that I demonstrated.
Yeah, he was the darling last year. Last year, everybody was loving that dude. And then, you know, like, you ever, I don't know, what is it? What's the quote? It's like, you know, die a hero or live so long to be viewed as the villain. Like, that happened.
Yeah.
That happened quick. You know, that was a year. But yeah, I think I'm over the Knicks. I think I want to see the Pistons win. I think the Knicks play more fun, fast-paced, scoring basketball.
So? They're so boring, dude.
Dude, oh but it's just new names in the with the Pistons right now. I think next year we're going to say the same thing. Man, these guys can't score. They're boring. They're not fun. You know, Malik Beasley's good. I like Malik Beasley. I like this role, this new role that Tobias Harris is in where he doesn't feel like there's pressure on him. I like Jalen Duren. I think he's a good young center. I also just think they're not good enough, you know. I would question a Magic versus Pistons series. That would just be the worst viewing experience ever. But
dude, you know what's interesting that never gets talked about? This is really old that I'm pulling back to, but I'm thinking about the Spurs, and I'm thinking about the Spurs of old and some of the series that
which ones
win, maybe like mid 2010s, early 2010s to mid 2010s. Dude, they used to And I'm sure this was the case from the, you know, during the early during the 2000s as well. I just I just wasn't watching religiously back then.
Yep.
And they don't ever blow teams out. I know they dismantled that Heat team in the finals, right? That 4-1. But outside of that, they never blew people out. These the Spurs played grind them out series. Anytime they played the Thunder, anytime they played the Grizzlies, anytime they ever played the Clippers, like they worked 7-game series. And I think it's play style, and I think obviously Kawhi's been on different teams that are that in no way were built around the same style that the Spurs have really were built around, and that he just played a role for, and now he plays more of an outsized role than he ever did on some of those Spurs teams. But I do think he has the same mentality, right? Like I'm gonna fill the gaps that I need to, and filling the gaps now looks a little bit different than he used to have to do for the Spurs. Now it's a little bit more of an active role he has to play on a possession to possession basis. But in general, he's never going to take 50 shots, right? He's never going to play a role that translates into blowing another team out of the series. And I think the same can be said for the style of team that he's on, right? A traditional five, a scorer, a rebounder, like a traditional post guy, a pick and roll ball handler, a defensive stopper like Chris Dunn, Kawhi is another defensive stopper, and then a four. That team in general doesn't blow modern teams out, because you have teams that shoot the three so well now. So part of me is concerned, and let me know if you're connecting this thought with me. So part of me thinks the reason outside of that Heat team that they blew out, the reason it was hard for the Spurs to win so consistently, even though they were consistently dominant, is because you're in these grind them out series repeatedly, and you can only win so many when you roll the dice on them. Each time you have a 55% chance to win the series, that's strong, but when you start to extrapolate, you're not going to win that many titles unless you're truly, truly dominant. If you're sound in all these areas, you're going to win a majority, but it's going to be really hard to win win multiple series consistently, even if you're a consistently good team. I think the same can be said for the Clippers now, and I question whether they can beat any team. Forget about the strength of the West, which is a strong conference. I wonder if they have what it takes to get through 4-7-game series, not because of any question marks I have around the players, Harden, but just because of how grueling that can be. Like the Thunder, you can see them shooting a team out of a series. You know, the Celtics, you can see them shooting a team out of the series. Lakers, maybe, I don't know. Maybe the Warriors, you know what I mean? But like the Clippers are a grinded out team based on the way they're built in the modern sense. And it really has me questioning, man, does a team like that have what it takes to win? What am I cool to roll the dice on them knowing they're a sound team, they have what it takes to win every single game, a majority of games in a 7-game series, but they may not have what it takes to get those series done early.
Right. And there's no secret on how the easiest way to win an NBA title is. Like, NBA, like, no. there is not a required amount of games you have to play. Like, the Celtics don't have to play 3 game 7s to go to the finals. They did I think it was like a 4-1, a 4-1, and a 4, or maybe a 4-1, a 4-0, and a 4-1, something like that, right? They lost maybe 2 or 3 games up until that point. And the Mavericks, on the other hand, they were going to game 7s. They were winning in 6. And it just came in, and it just looks like the Celtics are fresher. You know, it's not fair. It's, hey, you know, we're gonna beat you down. And maybe that has something to do with it. You know, maybe they're playing like – the next series the Clippers play, they're playing against an OKC team that won 4-0. They're ready to go. You know, they've had 3 days off while you've just played 2 days ago, or a week off and you just played 2 days ago. And yeah, like that first game's going to be really difficult. And if that first game slips, then now we've got to bring it back. And that's definitely something that was prevalent with the Spurs, is aside from, like, you know, when they beat the Nets and they just crushed them, like 4-2. And when they beat the Heat, is every previous series, like you said, was close, right? Every previous series took more effort than it probably should have, and it makes it difficult to then get into the next series, and then the next series, and then the next series, you know, and then win the title. So, there's definitely something to that. There's no secret that typically, right, like the Celtics, they had a really difficult way, like tough path for them to get to the Warriors, who beat the Grizzlies in five or six, you know, that series before, right? And yep. they, you know, the Celtics are grueling it out with, you know, beating the Nets, and then they went to seven versus the Bucks, and then you know it's just they're grinding, you know, they're really. It's difficult. They go to seven versus the Sixers, and it's like, man, they just played more games in less time. You know, these guys are human. You know, it's not like everyone's robots, and their body feels it. You know, your shot becomes more like laborious. You know, it's just different when you play more games. I know if anybody here has ever played, if you've ever been a part of that pickup team where you've won the last four games, and then there's a fresh team that comes on that probably if you guys played the first game against each other, it would be close, but you just get absolutely run through because everybody's playing at a kind of lower level. You know, there's a little bit less, you know, defensive stopping. There's a little bit less shot making. You know, you feel good because you're like, you know, momentum, we've won all these games, but at the end of the day, you know, you're tired. You're tired. It's hard. It's hard. It's not easy to win basketball games, no matter what level you play at. I know you probably were feeling that yesterday. How many games did you win in a row yesterday? Yep,
I slept for 15 hours. That was crazy.
Hyperbaric chamber.
I think I fell asleep like 5 minutes after I texted you yesterday.
Oh my
like,
goodness!
I was indeed.
I gave you a call. I thought you were gonna pick up.
Did you really?
I really did call you, and you must have been knocked out.
Maddie was on the couch watching TV the whole time, so my phone must have just been on the ringer. Otherwise, she would have woken me up.
That's funny. Yeah, I was
not on the ringer on Do Not Disturb.
Do Not Disturb. Yeah. But yeah, man.
Nine o'clock.
9 o'clock, and you were out.
She woke me up at 10:45. 10:45, I went to bed, and then this morning I didn't get up till like 10:30.
How was that possible? I love it.
Oh, dude.
But yeah, I mean, do you think LeBron? I mean, LeBron's in his hyperbaric. He's sleeping in the sauna. But yeah,
hyperbolic
chamber.
Maybe it was a hyperbaric, but hyperbolic.
The exaggeration chamber.
That's what it is. The hyperbolic time chamber.
Dude, maybe we should make that a segment. So. Overreaction next day to all the games, and it's a hyperbolic chamber. Wouldn't that be funny?
The room of spirit and time. That's sick. All right.
I thought hyperbolic meant like over exaggeration.
Oh yeah, we were talking about Brunson, dude. We got way off track. Holy cow.
We started talking about the Clippers in there. I don't know how this happened. Pistons Knicks will get beat in the next round. Whoever it is that makes it out will get beat by the in five.
It'll be in five. Whoever makes it out. Nobody's beating this Boston. This Boston team's gonna need to run into somebody who has no problem switching all screens, closing out, and it'll be a tight series, and they'll just lose in seven if that team.
That's the only time they deliver.
Yeah, yep. But it's not happening. I mean, dude, their team, nobody on their team shoots less than 40% from three. It's insane. I truly have never seen a team like it. They realized we don't need a superstar to win. You know what I'm trying to say? We don't need a player who can take over. They literally don't need it in any game. It's not even necessary.
They need the players that can be a high elite level on both sides of the ball, and all of their players are. Every single player is. And yeah, they have one player that's like more elite on one side or the other. But at the end of the day, yeah, like it's not like you don't need a guy that will sacrifice one thing for another. You have a team that's bought in on the offensive end and the defensive end, and that is how you win games, and that's how you win championships.
Derek White is definitely the best three. I know everyone was talking about like Reeves and some other guys the other day. He's so good. Derek White is unquestionably the best.
I think so as well. Generally. And he shoots so weird.
He's too elite on defense.
Oh yeah. Oh.
He's too elite on defense, and his offense is too good. Yes, Reeves is a slightly better
offensive creator. That's it.
Offensive creator. Yeah. But it's not enough to swing the tide.
Yeah. No, Derek White. He was making some shots yesterday, and I was like, first of all, like, you're only shooting those because it's late in the shot clock, or like, why the heck are you shooting those? And then, like, if there, like, there is a sound of ripping the net in, like, when you hear it on the broadcast, like, it overpowers the audio in the broadcast, whoever's talking, and the crowd. And I bet they have a mic right there in the, like, behind the basket or something like that, so that you can hear that noise. when Derek White hits that three, I don't know if it's the arc, I don't know what it is, but it is so loud and it is so incredibly satisfying to me. There's just something about it where I'm like, man, if I could do that with my shot and it could sound like that, oh, I would play all day. It's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, the Celtics are just, you know, yeah, until they run into the Cavs and then the Thunder, I don't think they're going to have any issues. They are having issues, but not issues enough to lose because the Magic are so bad offensively, but the Magic are playing them tough. This does not look like typical, you know, run-of-the-mill Celtics. They just dominate. But yeah, okay, cool. Last one, Nuggets Clips. Who's going to be the X factor in this series, one way or another?
Dude, I have actually a couple standouts that I want to highlight on this Nuggets Clips game. So
which one?
I'm going to walk you through. Yeah, let's go through a new note.
New note.
Can I draw on this thing? No, I can't. That's a bummer. I don't know how I'm going to do that. There's no like whiteboard setting, huh? Dang. All right, hold on. Let's see if I can draw on this screen. It won't let me mark up. All right.
Well, it's not going to happen.
There's this play that the Clippers are running. Shout out to Jeff Van Gundy, man. I saw it, I think, four times in the game where Nuggets go into their two-man action with Murray and Yoke. They'll have one three-point shooter in the short corner on strong side, and then they'll have two weak sides. So one weak side three and one kind of at like the elbow outside on the three-point line. No, sorry. They'll have one strong side, one weak side, and then they'll have one in the dunker spot. Because of the dunker spot, what you'll see happen is it's going to be so much easier to draw. But if you can mentally visualize this, so what's going to happen is the Nuggets go into this like kind of like auto tune when they're running their pick and roll. It's they dump it off to Jokic. Jokic finds the lob, or Jokic finds the three. If Murray doesn't decide to hold onto the ball. Four times they ran the action where off the dunker spot, that whoever was guarding that man, a couple times it was one times it was Dunn, one of the times it was Powell, one of the times it was Kawhi. They left dunker spot. Whoever was guarding the guy on the weak side corner kind of shaded down to cover AG or whoever was in the dunker spot so that there would just be a long rotation to the three if they needed to close out, but they never needed to. And Jamal would dump it into Jokic. Before he'd turn, the ball would be out of his hands. They'd pop it out, and they'd send it down fast break. Great defensive play. That got them 8 points right there.
OKC does that too. Brilliant defensive play.
So smart. And they know every single time that that's what Jamal wants to do. That's what the team wants to do. That's the action that they want to get into, where high screen turns into Jokic, has the ball at the nail, he can make the decision. So I wonder if there's going to be a counter to that this game. You know, I don't envision it working again. I didn't see that game one. I saw that a ton game two. So again, great job to Jeff Van Gundy for drawing that up if that was him in charge of the defensive scheme. But really, really smart, knowing that action for the Nuggets is rinse and repeat, and that there's no creativity. There was no current creativity in how they play it once they saw that the first time, and it took them four times to realize, do we keep getting picked right here?
Yeah. And the best part about this play, that's
on Jokic, but
he can't see Jamal, in the back of his bed.
Jamal can't. Well, and Jamal can't see too. So he makes the dish
because
Jokic
can't see is blocking the guy him. Yeah.
Pulling up from the dunker spot. He's hiding behind Jokic. It's genius.
Exactly. And the best part about this play is that it is, especially with the intelligence of Dunn and Kawhi and even Powell, it is super...
Batum had the other one. So there might have been three.
Okay. I like it. The best part about this play is incredibly low risk, incredibly high reward. Oh, yeah. If you have the intelligent basketball, and you can't run this with every team and with every player, because not every player knows how to get in the right place to where they're not seeing the player. And not every player has the intelligence to understand how to know exactly where the ball is going to be in Jokic's hands when he comes around, because the shading and the defensive player that is marking Jokic are pushing him towards one way where they know the ball is going to be. Kawhi and Dunn have the intelligence to understand the ball will be here. I will not foul. I will get the ball and I'll be out the other side. And that is not something that you're like, you're not going to see that at a high school level, right? You're not going to see this at a college level. It is incredibly hard to execute. And it speaks to the level of defensive ability that these Clippers players have, because it's super effective, but you know, you're going to see some other teams try to run it and they're going to foul and they're going to get ripped, because you know, if Jokic puts the ball above his head and Kawhi's out of place, then it's a 2v1. Jokic dumps it down. AG has a guy on his back, but he's too athletic and he'll dunk it, or he'll kick it to the three because Powell is shading over who's supposed to be marking the three, and the guy in the corner, MPJ, laces it up because he's a knockdown shooter from there and he can get up. So, you know, low risk, high reward in the sense that you have to get the ball. If you don't, the high risk here is you leave a guy, which they don't. They just don't. And they're too good at it.
It was pretty sick to watch. Back to your original question, who is the, you know, the guy to watch, right? Or what is the thing to watch?
One way or another.
Yeah, it's can Powell get going? He really struggled in game one and two. Don't see a world where the Nuggets are able to go outside of the structure of a Jamal Murray Jokic game to shake things up and be reliant on this one guy. That consistently, the way this team is built, you rely on the hustle and the showing up of guys, which you got from an MPJ in game two, and it still wasn't enough because so much runs through Jokic and Murray. And I'm not saying that any fault goes on them for that. I'm just saying that's how the team is built. You're never going to need this guy to go off. The Clippers, on the other hand, could have three or four guys that can show up and make a huge difference. Kawhi only had 19 shots, and he put up 39 points. So there's a wide margin for error for the rest of these role players to either out-execute, out-hustle, whatever it is, and make shots. And I think for Powell realizing, oh, I'm a dude in this series, and I can be a dude in this series, and I need to step up. You saw it a little bit last game where he made a couple shots, got hot. Not got hot, but got his confidence back. He still wasn't electric from the field. So I think he's a big difference maker. I think Derek Jones just needs to be relied on to make shots when called upon, but he's not going to be tasked with anything greater. Harden's got to protect the ball. Zoo's just got to continue with what he's doing. I don't think we're getting a big game from Bogdanovich. So I think Powell is our X factor here.
Okay, cool.
And what can he provide us? That's the guy to look for. Yeah.
We'll
and I just don't think one exists. I don't think one exists on the Jokic. I think on the Nuggets. I think you just have to play a scrappy game, as we talked about earlier. These are the games that a traditional five like the Clippers are running will find themselves in. It'll be close towards the end of the game, and the Nuggets. For the Nuggets, it's just a question: can you come out with a few more points to end the game and get a W? That's it.
Yep. You're right. Right, 100%. So close game, close series. I like, this is my favorite series that I've seen in a while. Even like last year, all first rounds. The only comparable one would be Cavs Magic, and this is much more fun. So I really do hope it goes the distance. I do hope it goes seven. I would be hoping to catch it in Denver and see what's going on, and can't wait to do that. But yeah, I mean. Overall, I think that's pretty solid. I mean, I do have a couple closing questions for you, and then we can jump. Sound good? All right, let's go. The biggest one was, are the Clips just Mavs of last year? And you said not really. Maybe a little bit, but I think they kind of copied and pasted the blueprint of what got them to the finals out of the West. I just think it's a different West. You know, it's just you know, OKC would smack the Mavs last year, in my opinion.
OKC would slap the Mavs.
I'm sorry, yeah, they would.
Yeah, I don't think they're copy and paste, because I think Kawhi's better than Kyrie on the offensive and defensive end. I think Harden's different than Luka. Like Luka's your sort of your primary ball handler, but he's he is. I guess he doesn't do much on the defensive end. You have some similar defenders, but Zoo's more of an offensive threat than any of just the lob threats. The offense had to originate from your 1 and 2 on the Mavs. It doesn't have to on the Clippers. So a little bit different.
Okay.
I think you have a third guy who can handle the ball, and
Harden, Kawhi, and Powell. I don't think the Mavs had had another guy outside of Kyrie and Luka who could handle the ball. There, I know what you're saying, but I think that the team makeup is a little bit different.
Okay, I like That's it. My thought. I like it. Are you back in on Ben Simmons?
Stop.
That's my guy right there. Just kidding. I don't like Ben Simmons. He did have a sick pass. Did you see that though? He always has a sick pass. It's never a sick shot though. Well, cool. Yeah, let's reconvene kind of after games three, maybe three and four are done, and we'll be able to pump out some more talk, some more good content after that. And then, yeah, I mean, we're super excited for the playoffs. I know I am. I know you are. We're watching a lot and having a great time with it. This is the best time of the year, at least for me. So, yeah, let's keep it moving. Muted. Shout out.
Let's get it, boys.
Alrighty. We'll hold it there and see you next time. Peace.